welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Just want to take a few minutes just to look at why the cross. Why do we need the cross? And if we understand why we need the cross, then we know what the cross was for and maybe what God wants to do tonight. Because we have a cross over there. Later on, we're going to be putting some things on the cross, nailing some things on the cross, because the cross represents victory. And we're going to look at what it represents over the next few minutes. So this will be a short kind of just few minutes, kind of just to introduce us to where we're going to go tonight. In Colossians chapter 1, there's a scripture that is coming on the screen now that says, through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. And he made the things that we can see and the things that we can't see. Everything was created through him and for him, or created by him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all things, or all creation, together. The Bible says that God created all things for him, not just by him, but also for him. And so we are part of God's creation. And as people, we've been created by him, but also for him. We've been created to know him. In Genesis chapter 1, it talks about us being made in the image of God. And God makes us in his image because he wants us to know him. He wants us to have relationship with him. He wants us to be like him. As he is, so are we on the earth. And in any relationship, it's got to be one of free will. So when you love somebody, you don't want to tell them how they're supposed to love you. You want them to love you because they have a free will. They choose to engage in that relationship. And so when God created us, he gave us free will to choose. Now, we understand from the story in the Bible that he gave Adam and Eve free will, but they chose to do something. They chose to act independently from God. They kind of chose to do their own thing. And one little act of independence brought a separation between them and God, and ultimately between mankind and God. And it brought a division. And when that took place, sin, as the Bible talks about it, entered the world. This power of sin that's affected mankind ever since. This disease of sickness also entered the world at that moment. Sickness and various ailments that people have. And also death entered the world at that moment, because up till that point, Adam and Eve would have lived forever. And however many descendants, if there was no sin, we'd have all lived forever then, because God's life is eternal. It goes on forever. And because they acted independently from God, sin, sickness, and death came into the world, and all of that brought a separation from God. Now, that's, as we know, that's not God's purpose. That was not God's intention. And so in order to deal with all of that, something had to happen. God had to do something, because he wanted to restore mankind back to relationship with him. He wanted to make it possible for us to have relationship with him in the same way that he intended right at the beginning. And we can kind of correlate, if you like, a bit of a kind of parallel between what Adam and Eve did, and when sin and sickness and death entered the world, the division, the separation between mankind and God, that was kind of rebellion against God in that sense. And whenever a crime is committed in life, there's always a punishment, a payment that needs to be made in order for that person to pay a price for their crime and whatever they've committed. And therefore, when somebody's committed a crime, there has to be judgment as to what that crime deserves, and there has to be justice. What's the penalty that they're going to have to pay in order to be at some point in their life made innocent if they serve their time in jail? And because of what Adam and Eve did, the power of sin entered the world, and therefore the nature of sin is in people's lives. And Until we know God, until we have a relationship with Him, we're always separated from God in terms of relationship with Him. Now, God doesn't want that, and so therefore He had to do something because He wanted to make right what was ruined, if you like. And the only way you can do that is if there's a crime and if there's a punishment to be paid. Somebody has to pay that punishment. Now, if somebody guilty is going to be made innocent, then the only way of dealing with that is for somebody innocent to pay the crime or pay the penalty for their crime so that the one who's guilty can go free. Now, God understood that, but because God is a judge and He judges sin, but He's also a God of justice, so He wants to deal with it in the right way. Because of His heart towards us, He didn't want to punish us for what we've done, because He's a merciful God, because His love is unfailing. He said, I don't want to punish them, so I need a sacrifice, and I need somebody to pay a price for all of their sin. But I can only have a sacrifice if that sacrifice is innocent, not guilty, has never been separated from me. So God decided, well, the only way I can do this is if I come myself. And so God came in human form on earth a couple of thousand years ago. And the Bible says the Word of God, Jesus, became flesh and became man on earth and walked as we did on earth, tempted in the same way as we are, challenged in the same way as we're challenged in life with various things. But yet it says that He never sinned. He walked submitted to in humility to the Father in relationship with His Father, with God. But Jesus knew that He came to demonstrate the kingdom of God, what God is like, what His Father was like on earth. But He also knew He came to die. But He came to die so that we might live. And tonight's theme is dying to live. And Jesus was prepared to submit Himself in such a way through the whole of His life. But He came to the point where He knew He had to submit Himself to go to the cross. And when He went to the cross, He knew that all the punishment that you and me deserve for the things that we've done against God, the sin, various other things, decisions we've made, stuff we do that goes against God. Jesus knew that the punishment that God was going to put on Him on the cross was so that we could be made innocent, so that we could be made clean, so that we could be made right before God. And so we're going to have a look at Isaiah 53 and a few verses in there, and just see what the Bible actually says Jesus went through and what He accomplished on the cross and the power of it, so that when we come in a few moments to write some things down that we want to have victory over in our lives, and then we're going to appropriate that in a certain way tonight. And I believe people are going to get healed. People are going to know I'm forgiven. Some of you are going to be at peace with God in a way that you haven't been maybe for a while. Others are maybe going to respond to God for the first time. And God's going to do all kinds of things in a few minutes. So let's have a look. What does He say in Isaiah 53? He says that we of people have turned our backs on God and looked the other way. We've kind of lived and done our own thing. Jesus was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness that He carried, and it was our sorrows that weighed Him down. So the things that separated us from God, God was going to put the punishment and the weight of on Jesus so that we don't have to face those things. We thought His troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for His own sins. But actually, He was pierced for our rebellion, and He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole, and He was whipped so that we could be healed. On the way to the cross, there were a number of moments where Jesus was beaten, He was whipped, He was spat upon, crown of thorns were placed upon His head, blood was flowing from all different parts of His body, and the Bible talks about He was whipped, or by His stripes, the stripes on His back when He was beaten and lashed. He says, by His stripes we have been healed. And one of the things that Jesus accomplished was not just so that we could be forgiven from a sin, but so that we could be healed from every disease, every sickness. That there is nothing on the planet that is too big, too nasty for God to heal, because He's already accomplished it on the cross. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid upon Him the sins of us all. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal, and he was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. There was a joy that Jesus understood about going to the cross, that on the other side of the pain, the other side of what he was going to have to go through on the cross, there was a joy that he knew on the other side of that was going to mean what the last little sentence says, that he will have many descendants. That he knew, if I lay down my life, if I take the punishment of every man, every woman, every person's sin and everything that they could have ever done that's not right before God, if I take all of that punishment on myself, the other side of that will be forgiveness for them, will be healing for them, will be wholeness for them, will be relationship with me, relationship with my Father. It will mean destiny with God. It will mean a hope and a future. It will mean free from fear and pain and rejection. It will be free from everything negative that could consume lives and ruin people's lives. That's why Jesus went, because he knew on the other side there was going to be total victory, total freedom for you and me and everybody else that here or is not here that does or doesn't know him. What an amazing work that Jesus accomplished on the cross. And when he hung on that cross, there was a cry that he declared. Because everything that God put upon him didn't kill Jesus. Everything that God laid upon him was because God is a judge and he had to judge someone. So he put his judgment on Jesus, and with his justice, he, through Jesus, dealt with the power of sin, dealt with sickness, and overcame death on the cross, and ultimately conquered the power of the devil. And when that had been accomplished, Jesus shouted and cried out, "It is finished!" He shouted and declared something, says, "The work has been done. It is finished. It is complete." And while he was hanging on the cross, the power of sin had been dealt with. The power of sickness, the power of death, the power of the devil, all of that lot had been dealt with while he hung there, while he was still alive. Once that had already been dealt with and he had victory over it, he then cried, "It is finished. It's done." After that, then he gave up his spirit and then he died. The reason why he rose again 3 days later, the reason why we celebrate this Sunday, is because of what he did on the cross. Death couldn't hold him because he defeated him. The devil couldn't hold him down because he defeated him. That's amazing, isn't it? So he was going to have to rise again because he defeated all the things that would stop him from rising from the dead. And so that great shout of victory is still resounding through time right now, in our day and in our time. It's amazing, isn't it? Because Jesus is alive and the work that he accomplished is still happening in us today. What we're going to do this evening is, rather than, we didn't want to do a big kind of just Fandango thing tonight. We wanted just to gather much more around the cross, communion, and the victory of what Jesus has done, and really receive from him tonight and respond to him. If you've seen on your chairs, you've got a little tag. And every few chairs there's a pen. You might have brought one with you. But there might be something in your life where you know, I need to see a victory in this situation in my life. It might be that you've had some kind of sickness, disease, infirmity, something physical, mental, emotional, something that you know is not 100% sorted in your body, in your life. And Jesus is saying, "By my stripes you have been healed." And you might want to, you can write your name on it if you want, or you can write the particular sickness that we're going to hang or nail, if you like, hang on the cross in a few moments' time, saying, "Jesus, this is going to the cross right now. because you accomplished healing for me, and so I'm going to take hold of my healing tonight, and this thing is finished at this moment, because you've said 2,000 years ago, it is finished. So I'm going to appropriate that now into my life, that it's finished, it's done. And in a few moments, as I put that on there, I'm going to begin to receive that healing tonight. Others of you, there might be something else. There might be a fear. Some of you might fear death. There might be a fear of something else. You think, no, hang on, Jesus won the victory for me so that I don't have to live in fear of death. When you know God, the amazing thing is he puts his eternal life in you. So there's no fear of death any longer, because you've already got eternal life, so you're going to live forever. This body might pass away, but you already have his eternal life. So there's nothing to fear. Yeah. So there might be fear of death tonight. There might be fear of something else, somebody or something or whatever. Let's nail it to the cross. There might be a few things you want to write really small on there to get them all on, the front, the back or whatever. I don't know. Or maybe just put your name on. God, there's loads. Please sort me out. Just put your name on there. And God says, right, I'll do a whole MOT on you tonight. Brilliant, you know. There might be a situation, circumstance, something that you need a breakthrough, something that is just overloading. I don't know. It might be that you're just going through something, or there's a situation where you know you've been totally rejected. There might be something where you know you need to let go of something, forgive somebody, pain, guilt, something you've done, where God, this cycle of behavior that needs to change, I'm going to nail that to the cross tonight. I'm going to believe that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you do something in me tonight that breaks that cycle. So I surrender afresh to you right now. Forgive me for whatever it might be. You might want to write that on there. And we're going to nail some stuff to the cross. We're going to appropriate the power of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Is it still working now? There might be other things that come to mind. Man, I'm going to nail that to the cross tonight and see an end to it. You might need a job. You think, I've been trying to get a job, but I haven't got one. Nail that to the cross tonight. Maybe put that there. Right, the end of this joblessness is going to finish at this moment, and I'm going to get a job. That's what you want for me, God. And that might be something very practical like that. So just as I'm talking, you might want to write a few things down. You might have a few things come to mind. If you've got a few things and there's not enough space, just write your name. God knows what you're nailing to the cross tonight. So this might take a few minutes. And while we do this, the guys are going to just lead through some worship. And obviously just mind the step as you step up. There are hooks at various levels. Some of us are shorter than others. Maybe some of us are a bit younger than others. And so there's some hooks you should be able to reach. And just go over there and hook it on there. Don't if you can not stand there and pray for a few moments, because there might be, pretty much all of us are probably going to go over there. If you can just hook the thing on there and then go back to where you're seated, and then we're going to flow in and then see how we're going to do this and what God's going to do. Do you believe God's going to do some stuff? All right. So if you've already got your tag and you've written on it and stuff, let's stand together and we're going to worship. But as soon as you've got your tag, just obviously careful with the tables. Don't run a rush to go over there. But if you want to make your way over there and begin to just hook whatever it is on there, just see yourself, I'm nailing this to the cross. This is finishing tonight because Jesus has already dealt with this 2,000 years ago. Now we're going to appropriate by faith tonight what Jesus has already accomplished on the cross. Now there's one thing we haven't spoken about very much yet, and that is the blood of Jesus. Because it is the power of the blood that is at work now in the same way as it was on the cross, that is the reason we can be set free now, healed now, whatever it is, be forgiven now. In Revelation 5 it says that because of the blood, or the blood purchased men for God. So there was a price that was paid to purchase you and me. Hebrews chapter 9, it says, because of the blood we are cleansed, we are forgiven, and we are made holy. Wow, that's awesome. We are cleaned up, forgiven, and made holy. right with God. Ephesians 1 says that by the blood we are redeemed, or we are freed, set free from sin. Redemption is a price is paid for somebody's freedom. And it was the price of Jesus' blood that was shed, was that transaction that enabled you and me to come into freedom with God. And that freedom is from sin, from sickness, from death, and from the devil, in terms of the victory that Jesus won. Colossians chapter 1 says that he reconciles all things to Christ, making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So the blood reconciles us, brings us back into relationship with God. And then Ephesians 2 says, those who are far off have now been brought near because of the blood of Jesus. Any of us in the room before we knew God, we were far off, but yet because of the blood, it's enabled us to draw near, to come close. And we know that the blood was part of that Jesus shed on the cross, enabled Jesus then to be the way that was then opened so that we could know God. So the blood declares victory of what Jesus has accomplished. By his stripes, we have been healed. And so we're going to appropriate by faith what God has done for every one of us. Are you ready to receive from him tonight? Now, you've all put some stuff, let's call it stuff. We've put some stuff on the cross, right? You know what it is. God knows what it is. And right now, we're going to take hold of this. It's a paintbrush and some paint. But what we're going to do now, we're going to appropriate the blood of Jesus, and we're going to saturate all of this lot with the blood of Jesus, so that everything that is written is going to be completely saturated with his blood. And so every sin that's being repented of right now, saying, God, I need you to forgive me, every sin is being covered right now with the blood of Jesus. And Jesus says, by my blood, you are forgiven. And so this is what happened on the cross when Jesus hung there. I'm going to get paint all over me as well. But then every sickness, there might be sicknesses, diseases, ailments, things you've been living with for years, right now getting covered in the blood of Jesus. There's people being healed right now as we just worship. And this blood that was shed is still at work right now, today in 2013. Healing migraines, bodily organs, bones, blood disorders, physical disorders, mental issues, emotional sickness, rejection right now. Guilt and shame taken to the cross, because that's why Jesus went, so that we could live free from all the negative things that the enemy wants to lay upon us. We're no longer victims of sin. We're no longer victims of life. We're no longer victims of circumstances. But we are victors because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross 2,000 years ago. So we appropriate right now the victory that Jesus won and accomplished for us on the cross in the name of Jesus. Let's just close our eyes for a minute. Father, I thank you for those people that you're touching their bodies right now with the power of your blood. Thank you that there is no sickness that can resist the power of your blood. And I thank you that you're saturating people's lives right now with the power of your blood of work. That your blood is cleansing people's bodies, physical ailments, mental issues, emotional turmoil, oppression, depression right now being lifted off people in the same way that you accomplished it on the cross then. We appropriate it now tonight. We thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your cleansing power. Father, I thank you for some that need to know your peace right now. And I thank you that your blood reconciles, brings peace and reconciliation into people's lives right now. That no longer are they going to live under what they've been living under, but they now live free because of your blood. Thank you, Jesus, for practical circumstances, situations of dysfunction, broken relationships being healed right now. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we praise your awesome name. We thank you, Jesus. It says that Jesus was unrecognizable, disfigured on the cross because of what they did to him. And he went through all of that. He didn't care what he looked like, because what was more important to him is that we'd be made whole, that we could stand before the Father totally washed in the blood, that whenever we worship, the Father sees us covered in the blood. Whenever we come to spend time with him, we're covered in the blood. Whenever the Father looks at us, he looks at you covered in the blood. And he says, you're one of mine. You've covered in my blood. I've forgiven you. I've set you free. I've made you whole. Everything of who I am is available to you because you've been covered in my blood. You're cleaned up. You've been made whole. You're one of mine. So, Father, we thank you. We praise your awesome name for the victory of the cross. Let's just raise our hands, shall we? Let's begin to worship him, begin to honor him, begin to glorify him tonight. Thank you, Jesus. As you worship him, God's going to continue to do stuff.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.